Jonah quite an awesome story. And what I mean is, isn't it so incredibly dynamic? You know, for us every day, when we sin, we don't get such a huge response, or actually, you know, not a completely obvious response from God the way Jonah does. It's so clear cut. Jonah rebels and sins against God, and then God causes this huge problem or, you know, predicament for him and forces him into a situation where he needs to repent. It doesn't always happen for us so clearly, but I am confident it happens for everybody. So what you actually have to see is that the story of Jonah is ultimately a story of grace. And so you might be like, how is this a story of grace at all? It seems like God is punishing Jonah pretty harshly for disobeying God. You know, God brings a storm. God casts Jonah into the sea and has him swallowed up by a fish. It doesn't sound like the typical story of grace, does it? But that's because you don't consider what Jonah did to be worthy of death. But to disobey outrightly the things that God commands. We know from Romans 6 that the wages of death, the wages of sin, I gave it away. The wages of sin is death. Oh man, I'm tired this morning. But anyways, the wages of sin is death. And so what God had in his very right to do is that instead of having Jonah be cast into the sea, at first God could have just said, all right, to appease me, just tell the sailors, kill him. Or God could have had it when he was thrown overboard, for God to just bring the waves crashing over him until he drowned. Or I don't know what kind of marine life exists in the Mediterranean, you know, between Tarshish and Nineveh, but he could have had some kind of crazy animal come and eat him, you know, or the kraken or the octopus. I don't know what's in that sea. It kind of scares me, but because we don't know what is down there. But anything could have happened to him. By all rights, he should have died. He was even swallowed by a fish. Swallowed, not eaten. Like, if this was like something like a sperm whale, which is a whale that has teeth, you know, you could have gotten chomped up pretty badly and just died. But what God does is God appoints this fish simply to swallow him. So it's actually a testament of God's grace. God could have done all these terrible things and just ended it for Jonah. But instead, he puts him in a predicament which is almost like a last chance kind of thing. And the reason God does this is because he doesn't simply want to punish us for our sins. Since he is a loving father, what he does for his children is that he disciplines them. So what he does is, instead of completely ending Jonah's life, he brings Jonah to a situation where Jonah has to respond to him. So being in the fish is definitely, I mean, you can say, all right, that's harsh discipline, but God could have given him to any other animal to eat or whatever. The point being is that being in the fish was his, God was giving him just a little bit of time. I don't know how long you can survive, but God gives him 3 days and three nights within the fish to consider his actions, what he did against God. So this is actually a very bad situation. Don't think that it's like in Pinocchio where then Monstro and, you know, they're fishing and they have a fire and they're just all fine. It's not like the cartoon. He's in there, there's probably limited amounts of air. I don't know what's happening with him with digestive juices, or if he's even in the stomach or just simply in the mouth of a giant fish. But anyways, Jonah describes it as being in Sheol, or I don't know if you pronounce it as Sheol or Sheol. And you can liken that word, I think most of your Bibles might say the word great. It is a place of death, a place of, you know, despair and of agony. That's where he is right now. He's describing the belly of the fish as the grave. So, you can tell, what's interesting is when you look at Jonah's prayer, if we were to look at it really carefully, you can see that he already knew God was gracious and that God would forgive him. These are the first words that come out of his mouth. He knows God's character. He knows what it's going to take for him to get out of this. And he says, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. This is him praying within the fish. This is not him praying after he's out. This is why he's there. I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol, you heard my voice. So he was someone who was very, I mean, if we were to jump forward in this, I don't want to ruin it later for Pastor Stan, but if we were to jump forward in this story where he goes and preaches to Nineveh and God relents from punishing the Ninevites, his complaint to God is, God, I knew this would happen. I knew you were a God who was gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. You are a God who would relent if people repented. And so actually, he begins his prayer of repentance in that manner. He knows who God is. He knows God's character. He knows that repentance is his last chance. So Jonah finds himself in a do-or-die situation. But how many of us have ever faced an ultimatum like this? Repent or perish. Repent or things will not get better. You guys are all still pretty young, and even myself. But sooner or later, you may encounter a situation this dynamic, this clear-cut, this, you know, urgent. But if the problem is that eventually you'll get there because we sin. Perhaps it doesn't happen now, but you can count on it probably happening in the future. So we get into these situations where we rebel against God, you know, whether it's a sudden, isolated event, like Jonah simply saying no to God, running away, and then this happening to him. Or it could be chronic, something you do over and over and over again until God finally says, nope, no more. He brings calamity or hardship or suffering upon you. I mean, some of the more things that we're more familiar with is maybe someone who does well in school gets caught with drugs, gets kicked out of school. Or someone who maybe finds himself dealing drugs gets put into jail. Maybe it's a parent who wrecks his family with an affair. I'm sorry, he says his, because you know, I guess. That's a Freudian slip right there. I guess men are more guilty than women, but it's changing. But anyways, a parent who wrecks a family with an affair. You know, I worked at Mary Washington Hospital for the short time I was away from losing sunlight. And while I was there, I worked in the microbiology lab. And maybe I would say I worked 4 or 5 days out of the week. And maybe every other day, we would get another test for HIV. I mean, some of them are positive, some of them are negative. Point being is that the person on the other end of that swab that they sent to our lab probably, you know, might have been promiscuous for, you know, a long time before this happened to them. Or it could have been just the one time this person decided, I'm going to do this, and suddenly they're in a situation where they can't go back. And that is kind of what happens to Jim, although I'm going to get a little bit more into the situation, but it's not as clean cut and lickety split his sin, I mean, as it seems at first. Alright? So, what I was bringing up is that also, it doesn't always happen suddenly. The things like calamities and the terrible things that God brings upon you doesn't always happen because of the one time you did something. You know, maybe it's built up over time, like when it describes the Amorites. Oh, their iniquity is not yet full. And so for hundreds of years, God let it build up, and then he takes Israel into the land and destroys the Amorites. Right, but so if I were to bring this closer to home for you guys, because right now, you know, hopefully I'm not talking to people who are dealing with, you know, drug problems or, you know, who are having a potential, you know, a risk for contracting HIV. Hopefully I'm not talking to that crowd here. And I'm pretty confident in you guys that you guys are not. But if I were to bring it closer to home, if I were to bring the situation of sin bringing calamity upon you, sin that is your own fault, causing your own suffering. If I were to bring that closer to home for maybe a lot of us, maybe it would be something like a little anger problem. You know, maybe you think that it's okay for you to speak a certain way, to react a certain way, to either strangers or close friends, and then one day, you've done it so long, eventually, you say something, you do something, you can't take back. And at that time, hopefully you remember what happened to Jonah. That one time, it's not something that just happens suddenly. You have built up the sin over time. So just like I described, it's with Jonah. You might think, oh, it's the one time he disobeyed God. This is not really cool. God, you punished him for something so, you know, so harshly. God was actually working with Jonah on this probably the whole time. Jonah was a prophet of God, meant to preach the word, to bring people to repentance, to worship the Lord. And yet, he could not bring himself to preach to the Ninevites. He hated them. And he stored this hate in himself for a long time, before he came to the point of disobeying God. He did not all of a sudden one day say, I am going to not follow God's commands today, or I am not going to preach God's word today. It didn't happen like that. He stored this anger, this bitterness against the Assyrians who were oppressing Israel for a long time. I hate them, he would say in his heart. I hate them. I don't want anything to do with them. I hope they die. He stored that anger up until finally, when God commanded him to go preach to the Ninevites, he said no. He didn't. He said no because of this sin that he allowed to grow in him over time. So, sometimes God will do it seemingly suddenly, but you may have been storing up this thing until he presents a situation for you to choose rightly or to choose wrongly. And when you've chosen wrongly, God brings a problem, a situation that forces you to reconsider your sin. So if you keep on sinning, even a small sin like maybe anger, which is actually probably the problem that Jonah also had, Keep doing it. Eventually God says, no more. So with Jonah, the God situation was obvious. He was told to go preach to the Ninevites. He said, no. God says, boom, you're in the fish. This is your last chance. So with sin issues, and this is, you know, not completely part of this message, but with sin issues in your heart, don't discount even the small thing. Because you don't see where they're leading you. You do not see what it will cause you to do should you continue on the path of sin. But here's where the story of Jonah becomes a story of grace. You know, not just the fact that God didn't outrightly kill him, but gave him an opportunity to repent, but here, within the belly of the fish, God gives him that chance one more time. And you need to listen to this carefully, because there may be a time when you will be in the wrong place, when you will be in the belly of the fish, you know, as a metaphor, you know, in the grave, when you will be in a place of despair and of agony, and you will have no place to turn except in repentance to the Lord. So you need to be able to read this prayer of repentance with me, so that you would have confidence that when you are in the belly of the fish, when you are facing trial and suffering and mountains of problems, that turning back to the Lord, there will be grace, there will be forgiveness, there will be restoration. So let me just read again his specific section of repentance. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Within the fish, Jonah remembers God. He remembers not just who God is, but his relationship to God. God is Lord. And by the end of the passage, you see that God is Savior. God is God in the full sense of the meaning of the word. Sometimes we don't understand the gravity of calling God God. You know, we think of it as just how we refer to him, but if you think of the word itself, it is, he is completely above and beyond you. And not only that, he is your master, your Lord, your God. He encompasses everything in your life. And so Jonah finds himself remembering the Lord from the grave, in the pit, in the place of agony, in the place of hurt. He remembers, yes, this is who you are, God. You are the one who created me. You are the one who sustains me. You are the one who keeps me alive. And he says, I will sacrifice to you a voice of thanksgiving. Once again, this is a confession of who God is, a confession of who he is in relation to God. And here he ends with, that which I vowed, I will pay. He doesn't explicitly say, I'm sorry. Some of you guys might be thinking, like, as you're reading this, how is this a prayer of repentance? He's not saying, Lord, I'm sorry for this, and I repent for this. He didn't say any of that. But here's what he actually says. That which I vowed, and what did he vow? He is a prophet of God. He has vowed to worship God, to seek out everything he has, to preach God's word faithfully, to the people of which he's chosen. And he broke that vow. Now he's saying, Lord, what I vowed, I will do. What I promised to you, I will give. My worship, my love, my offering. And so here he goes to fulfill his deed. You know, in the end of the story, he goes and he preaches to the Ninevites. See, it's a story of grace, because once he has prayed this prayer, he admits salvation is from the Lord. And at the end of his prayer, what it says is, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The confession of sin, his repentant heart, not the heart that just says, I'm sorry. It's the heart that says, Lord, I will fix my ways. I will repent. I will do what you say. That is what causes God to allow him out of the fish. It says it vomits him. From the fish vomits him. And just like that, if we were to liken it to Christ in the gospel story, I mean, I don't want to get too far into it, because that's going to be something that we're going to hit on later, is that just like that, repentance causes Jonah to be vomited from the fish. Our repentance, because this is a spiritual thing for us, I mean, sorry, this is a physical thing that's happening to him, the spiritual thing that's happening for us, the grave will vomit you out. Maybe it's not the physical grave, but it will definitely be a spiritual grave that you're in. So just to remind you guys, Jonah's story is not a story of just forgiveness for a particular sin, but it is a picture of God's forgiveness, bringing back us from the grave through our repentance. And of course, the story, as Pastor Sam has mentioned to you guys many times, Jesus calls himself one greater than Jonah, because he goes through the same thing, and he will be the source of your repentance, the source of your grace, the source of God's mercy for us. So that verse I was reading to us earlier, for the wages of sin is death. But no one ever remembers the second part of that verse. I've done this before. Let's see if we can do it again. For the wages of sin is death, but yes, no one ever knows. No one ever knows. No one ever focuses on the good part. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Try to remember that. Everyone remembers the bad part. I mean, I guess it's because it's always, they always bring that up in the sermons about repentance. We feel, us preachers, our pastors, we should feel bad because we never adequately cover grace. We never adequately tell people God loves them, God is a forgiving and loving God. And we're pretty good at telling people, you're bad, you've done this wrong, and we deserve death and hell and all those things. But I'm telling you now, just like Jonah, when you pray a prayer of repentance, acknowledging God, repenting of your ways, you can go and I'm sorry if it makes you feel better in there. But when you do that, God will maybe not restore completely. There's some situations in which things won't change based on the natural laws God has given for the year. If you did something stupid, you got in a car accident, maybe you don't walk the same or you don't talk the same, maybe that doesn't go away. But the spiritual part, the relational part, the most important part, the eternal part, that'll be fixed. That'll be mended. That'll be reconciled. Right? So let's just close in prayer, in a song of worship, and consider this thing of repentance. Consider this thing of God's, not just our repentance, but God's grace in response.